was holding back.
Would it be good enough?
Does this link in any way to, is Steve good enough?
Oh, certainly. It's been a dreaded reality much of my life.
In any given moment, could you be any different than you are?
No.
Not good enough is completely fucking meaningless. If the story is I'm not enough,
yeah,
you can either go to the opposite, which is I am enough, or you can just say that not enough is a lie. So that's why I say you're not enough.
Yeah, that's good.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Recode Your Mind with Calvin Corelli. And I am here today with Steve Uhlberg. So, Steve, you've been in Recode for a bit, and back when it was called Academy, and then I forget how long you were there exactly, or when that transition was.
Well, I've been with Simplero since way before that. And yeah, as things kept coming up, there was the purple, and there was the there were several different explorations, iterations that kept getting more focused, more detailed, and more viable. So that was very helpful. We were going through some significant changes in my Dulcimer Crossing business, and Simplero was an important accompaniment, instigator, tool, all those things. And being able to have access to more of that was very helpful.
Amazing. So
tell me, how can I serve you today? What's the challenge? What's the desire that you want to work through today?
Well, one side of things is a succession plan, so that what we do with equipping people can outlive the founders.
Mm-hmm.
And the co-founder with me is 10 years older than me and is doing a lot of care for her husband, who has illnesses, and so is very much a silent partner mm-hmm. in the background. And during the pandemic is when we were starting to make a shift from all the electronic hard coding stuff to the more, and spread all over and moved into one house and making use of the tools. Emily Ann was very helpful with showing me those and equipping and getting, explaining things that didn't make sense to my brain. And so when that happened, it was at the time when my co-founder was backing away, not out of it, but not taking such an active role. And I was stepping forward, taking more of an active role in not just creating the content, but facilitating the content and tying all the, doing the electrical work in the background, you know. And so now I got into the story and I can't remember your question.
What do I want to work on? Yeah, exactly.
So then in the process, one of my colleagues that I've been a mentor for, this is also in her wheelhouse. She's 25 years younger, and mm-hmm. this is the kind of thing that fits with her life goals. So I've been bringing her on board, and Recode was particularly helpful because she got to be a part of it, and she got mm-hmm. to see what we're doing, and we get together weekly to process, okay, what's the next thing and what are we doing? And that's resulting in some new membership levels, which focus in different ways. And we're launching a folk music educator membership, which has all kinds of resources for educators who are there. You go to a club and somebody says, can you help me play my dulcimer? I don't know. I'm not mm-hmm. I'm not equipped. But we want to equip people so they can help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There turns out a whole bunch of schools where the music teacher is using dulcimers, but they don't mm-hmm. exactly know how to use it. They know music. They know music education. They don't know how to use dulcimers.
So let's take a moment and just bring people up to speed on what you're doing, because I just kind of jumped in because I know that, but let's let everybody know what you're doing. A dulcimer is a musical instrument.
Yeah. There's two kinds. So there's the mountain dulcimer, which sits on your lap, or some people play tipped over in front of them, and the hammer dulcimer, and that's strummed. A hammered dulcimer is like the inside of a piano, and you play with sticks on strings. And they're traditional instruments. They have no family history each other to share the name. They just happen to have the same name. There's all kinds of apocryphal stories of how that happened. But it turns out to be very, they both turn out to be very accessible. And a lot of people who pick them up are people who have been trying to do music all their life, and now they're retired and they want to make music, by gum. And some people are people who have been lifelong musicians in all kinds of ways, but now with aging, maybe their hands can't do the grip of a guitar or a mandolin or something like that that they were doing before. They try this, and somebody just over the weekend, I was in New Mexico for a day-long festival, and this guy said, I've done all of these other instruments, and the arthritis was keeping me, and turning my hand over and letting gravity do the work instead of clenching, I can play the music again. And so it ends up furthering what people had before, or becoming this exciting, creative way to reorient my life for a lot of people. And so that's what we're here for, is to equip people. There are parts of the world where there are groups of people that get together, and that's how people learn. But the vast majority of us, like both us co-founders, were people that had no one to show us what to do. And it took us way too long to figure it out. So we want to make everybody's learning path be more efficient and quicker, so they can get up to all the good stuff sooner.
Great. Yeah, that's amazing. That's the game, right? Like we go through all the trials and tribulations, and then we try to shortcut it for the next people. Yeah. So you said the challenge being succession plan, who takes this over?
And we all agree that this is the right plan, and it's a long-term apprenticeship. So, but that also, what's fun for me is that it spreads the work and the creativity, because somebody sitting alone thinking stuff is one thing. Somebody interacting with someone who's also thinking stuff, you know, all kinds of, you know, sparks of creativity and things.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to tell you about this. One of the things that Aaron May, who is the partner who's in that with me, she started a thing called Creativity with Dulcimers, which is more like a mindset group. And so we created a Simplero site to do that. And a big piece of it is a monthly or a weekly gathering like this, where people are sharing. Aaron May's on the road, so I got to host it this morning. And it was, as I was doing this, I thought, well, this is the magic way that people are all sharing, interacting, supporting, sharing their experience, and they're making use of the other tools like the community and the forum posts and all that stuff. They're doing all of the things which a lot of people who do things on their own don't do. I don't need that. I don't need to, you know, talk. I'm just going to plug it. Okay, rugged individualism. There you go. Mm-hmm. It's rugged and you're individual. And we have a way to do that. But we also have these interactive community ways, which is another avenue. It's another tool. And it fits maybe at a different point in somebody's learning journey. Because sometimes you got to go off and do the thing. But like somebody was saying, I need somebody to be accountable to. And I said, do you think there's anybody here in this room right now that you could be? She goes, oh, that's a great idea. I said, how about if you choose somebody and talk with, and somebody else said, hey, what if we do this as a, you know, mutual thing? And it's like, you guys know all how to do all this stuff. So go have it.
Exactly. That's amazing. Yeah. That's super sweet. So is Aaron, is she the one that's going to take it over? I missed that part. Or
yeah, that's our, she's a full colleague, but in terms of this part of things, an apprentice that is very, very well equipped and very eager and, bright with creativity. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So what's the challenge?
The challenge, oh, that's a good point. timing. I am still, I've retired from other work that I was doing, which makes me have more time to focus on this. And I guess one internal challenge is how much of my day do I want to be focused on this and how much for other creative activities? When I was teaching music together for preschool kids, I loved it. And I realized after not doing it that it's really helpful for me and the music that's in me not to have another semester of the music that's for that. Because even though I know all those songs and I'm immersed in them for that time, and then I have a couple of weeks and then I get immersed in the next one, couple of weeks, and it would be a thing that would kind of always keep the music that I am want to complete. I don't want Dulcimer Crossing to be the thing that keeps me from doing that. I want to make sure it keeps on going. So it's some of it's where are the lanes on the road? You know, it's
So
not.
tell me about the music that you want to complete.
Well, I was commissioned to do a symphony that focuses on Australian Indigenous stories and has didgeridoo as a focus focal instrument. And that's one of those that keeps sitting there. And I've been working on that for 26 years. And
26 years.
yeah.
Okay.
And some of it was capacity. I mean, just the germ of the idea is there. I do the things, I get part way, and now every now and then I keep pulling it out. There's from the commissioner's end, there isn't a near deadline. That might help. But as we're getting now, I'm back in the neighborhood of where he lives. He's from Wyoming, and now we're next door neighbors, which is a West thing to say in the West. He's a state away, but that's our neighbor, you know. But he's typically spends the summer season back in Australia, so. I'll see him maybe in October because I've got a whole bunch of touring that I'm doing right now. And so
So
there's, yeah.
what's if you were to finish this symphony, then what? Like, what's holding you back?
That's a good question. Would it be good enough?
Yeah, right.
There's a couple other projects that are just exactly like that. It's like I know I can do something for this, but is it going to be good? Is it going to be right? And it's the thing I tell everybody else when I'm working with them, you know.
Right.
So, you know, just because it isn't good enough now, does that mean you're done? Can you work on it some more? I know there's tons of drafts. Once I get, for me, the hump is getting over. There's got to be at least six shitty drafts. And getting the first one done is the biggest issue. And then, because once I start writing draft on whatever I'm working on, I'm free. It's when it's the
So is
final
it
copy that I have a problem.
So is it good enough? Yeah.
Do I understand? What is good enough is one piece of that.
Yeah.
So I need to have a conversation with Paul. So that's, I think that'll be the way to move that forward. And I haven't thought about doing that. So.
Does this link in any way to is Steve good enough?
Oh, certainly. Most certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. When did you learn that it wasn't that it was a possibility that you could be not good enough?
Oh, it's been a dreaded reality much of my life. From a very shame-based system, and big desire not to. Well, there's father issues about not wanting to Oedipal things, not wanting to defeat father. There's, I don't, and I, and also knowing that a way, there's a hiding piece. If you don't just observe, keep track of everything, you know what's going on, and other people, if you hold your cards close and don't say much, they will mistake that for, often mistake it, adults will, for you not being. So I'm stronger if they don't know how smart I am. And then I can pull out a card and take that trick or something like that. There's, and being able to be, I mean, I went through a whole ton of therapy to be able to stand up unwounded instead of constantly wounding myself so that I could be part of the crowd, or I wouldn't be presenting myself as wounded, and doing self-wounding so that if I'm wounded, maybe you won't pick on me or something like that.
Afraid of, like, if you shine too brightly, you're gonna get daggers.
Oh yeah. I'm also used to anything that I say will be used against me in the family court of law. It's, and there are several places where I just had to separate and do what I do, and then realize how much I lived in my bubble, and didn't realize how estranged we really were until my hometown newspaper that I used to deliver did this huge spread on me and my music when I released my first CD. They called and interviewed me, all this stuff, and my folks never said a word about it. And they got that newspaper, and I know they had to have everybody in town talking to them about it, and they went to their graves and they never said a word.
And how did that make you feel?
Like, I'm really sorry for you people. I'm really cool, and I'm doing this thing that is really cool, and you paid for the lessons. You set the little egg timer by the piano and made me, mom could hear me when I'd try to speed it up. Zzz, set it back 10 minutes. This was, it's, and she went to all of our concerts, my sister's and mine, and she'd record them on her little cassette. She goes, "This is for posterity." And of course, we listened to posterity and we're, oh, that is so awful. How could we have thought we were so good? I mean, she did all that stuff that nurtured us in that direction, and here's the crowning thing, but that it's not received. And so and maybe the ongoing they're gone, and the resolution didn't happen. And at the time, it was for self-protection. And I thought one of the costs of this is going to be the times I wish I could speak again. And of course, it is. But my process has been to celebrate things that for years I couldn't celebrate because I had to have a mindset that of protection and defense. And I just have to keep that up. And now I
So
find
what you,
all these things that I celebrate.
yeah. So what, so wait, are you still doing, so are you still doing the hiding thing? Are you still doing the protection thing or?
Yeah, of course, but I'm trying not to.
And so what are you protecting against exactly?
I would say until we were having this conversation, I didn't feel like I was trying to do it at all. So there is still that in there. I live mostly in a place where, let's see, vulnerability, which I publicly say is a strength and privately feel as a target sometimes. I try to embrace Emanuel Cleaver was the mayor of Kansas City before I went to the Senate, the White Congress, and he would say, I tell the people in my church that I'm gonna fail 20% of the time, but the 80% is gonna wow you so much you won't care. And at the time that I heard him say that, I thought 20% is too much failure. That gives somebody a foothold for something. And then I thought, but when I looked at, I would. Turns out that's what happened. We would try do things. 80% of it was great, and 20%, yeah, it's just not going to happen. And I learned to accept that and actually celebrate it and quote it a lot. But there's a part of me that still wants 100%. So it's an
I'm so curious,
unrealistic.
what are you protecting against? Like, what's the thing that somebody could do or say that you would want or need to protect yourself against?
I think in some way not being good enough.
For whom or for what?
To be trying to be authentic and end up being inauthentic because it really is depends on the lens I'm looking through. We've got two grandchildren now, and I didn't get to have a grandpa. They were all gone. And so I get to come up with my own way, I guess, which is related to what I would have wanted to have had. And when I'm Yeah, how to be a long distance grandpa, I guess, is the harder part. When I'm present with them, that feels all natural and good. And then that relates to my kids, who are their parents, and wanting to continue to have a good relationship with them, let them know what's going on with me, particularly health-wise. And that feels good. They're both creative people in different ways, and we share common desire to be excellent at that.
So, how did this relate to being not good enough to whom? Is that
I don't know.
That's okay.
I don't know how much of it is just a shadow that's, a wraith that's hovering there,
Right.
that's, it's not
Yeah.
there, but it was. And so, I'm boxing against this memory or something.
Yeah, I mean that's how it works. Yeah. So, I mean, you talked about being authentic or inauthentic as well, right? And so consider that if you're trying to protect yourself from criticism or someone saying that you're not good enough or what you did wasn't good enough, right? What's that gonna do to your authenticity?
In the past, when people have said that, I've just thought, this isn't for you. In the
Yeah.
moment, it's like
Totally get it.
you were
That's
a,
when you're aware of it, right? But when it's running you unconsciously, of course you're going to be a little guarded, and so you're going to show up in a way that's not fully authentic. However, in some ways it is authentic because it's like it's who you are with the unconscious programming, right? So like how could you be anything else, right? So that's where it's like, is it authentic? Is it inauthentic? Like whatever. It's just how you show up in the moment, right? We don't like it becomes a meaningless distinction. But what I'd love to for you to consider is like, what does it mean to be not good enough?
Well, that makes me. What's the standard? Who's measuring?
Yeah.
Who? Even more importantly, who cares?
Exactly, right? In any given moment, could you be any different than you are?
No.
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 Oh, yeah.
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 So there's a whole lot about acceptance and, it's like the coyote runs through the rock wall, and there's a coyote shaped thing, and I'm still trying to fit into the coyote shaped thing.
Yeah, right. This is what we all do, right? This is what we all do. We try to live up to these standards that came from wherever, and like we all had a version of, like we all grow up subconsciously getting that like we need our parents to keep us safe, and so we try to guess at who we think they want us to be, and then we try to be that. And so if there's a rule that says like, oh, this was good, this is bad, then we're like, oh shit, like, and then we make it about us, like, oh, I'm bad. And so we get to run these patterns forever and ever.
So, how do we interrupt them? How do we interrupt those patterns?
By seeing it, right? But seeing the absurdity of it. 'Cause like it's the difference between like, oh, I'm not good enough or this wasn't good enough, so I gotta try harder. That just reinforces the lie that you're not good enough to begin with. Versus seeing, oh, not good enough is completely fucking meaningless. Because A, who gets to decide? And B, this is who I am in this moment. I can't change that right now.
Yeah, being recognizing I'm enough, being satisfied.
Yeah. Or you're at least not enough.
Say that again.
Yeah. So you can go when you if the story is I'm not enough, you can either go to the opposite, which is I am enough, or you can just say that not enough is a lie. So that's why I say you're not enough. Right, because the thing is, when you go the opposite, this is where affirmations come in, and we start as like I am enough. But the more you say I am enough, the more you're kind of reinforcing that the only reason you say that is because you underneath it you believe you're not. And so it's recognizing the fundamental lie that's running there.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I have a friend who was reading her book. She was talking about a friend of hers who was getting all these rejection letters when applying for some program of study. And he finally sat down and wrote a rejection to all the rejectors. I'm sorry, I'm not able to accept your rejection at this time.
Right. I love
And I think he mailed them and sent them to all of them.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm not able to reject your re
Yeah.
I have to reject your rejection.
Reminds me, I heard a story of a typesetter way years ago who got, after 20 years of working for this company, he got fired, and then like he just kept showing up at work, and but boss comes in and he's like, didn't you hear me on Friday? I said you're fired. He's like, yeah, that was really scary. Never do that again.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, screw not good enough. Same with your symphony. Your symphony's going to be whatever it's going to be. And maybe it's, and it's going to be good enough. It's going to be what it is. And maybe your friend, your next door neighbor who commissioned it is going to be like, that doesn't fit my requirements. That's fine. Then we can deal with that.
Yeah.
But it's not a judgment on whether the symphony is good enough or not. It's not a judgment on whether Steve is good enough or not.
Yeah.
Steve is fucking Steve.
Yes. And it's nobody else's business.
Yeah. And there's nobody like him. There's no other fucking Steve, you Steve. You're the one.
That's fair. That's helpful. Thank you. Now I'm really noticing that my camera's doing all kinds of weird color stuff.
It is.
I don't know, is this an aura thing or is
I'm sure it is. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, what is there to protect against? What is there to defend against? Right? People can say whatever the fuck they say. It has no, doesn't mean anything. It just means that they say words.
And I need to stop being one of those people.
That says words?
Well, creating somebody who says those words.
Oh.
What I've done with my critic when I'm playing music is give him a job. Here's a clipboard, here's a white coat, go stand by the door, and I want you to take notes. But no running commentary. I need to know what you observe, but not now. And that has worked in large portion of, oh yeah, that happened. And now we're on the next thing. We have to continue the tune. Yeah, I did that. Yep, we did that. And I, as a parable of that, this spring has been, I have not been doing significant touring since before the pandemic. And this whole year is full of that now. And so I was kicking off this big tour and driving from Colorado to do a gig in Kansas and then Arkansas and then Missouri and then back to a different place in Kansas. And I get to this festival, which is the anchor of the whole thing. And the night before it all starts, the guy calls and says, "Oh, I forgot to ask, can you do an hour-long concert tomorrow after lunch?" And I said, "Yeah, well, sure, I can do that." And I said, "Are other people playing?" He goes, "Well, if you wanted to." And I thought, I haven't even seen him since I've gotten here. I haven't asked. Blah blah. Okay, so it's going to be me." And then I said, "Are you going to interview? Are you going to introduce me or start this off?" He goes, "Oh, you want me to do that?" And I said, "Well, you're the host. Yeah, I would like that." So he does it, and then I walk up on the steps and trip and fall down. And it's like, whoa, that was not expected. And it was a big clump, bam. And I wasn't hurt. And I got up and half the people are going, ah, and the other people are going, ah. They thought it was a planned pratfall. And I chose not to say anything about it. I just launched and went in. There were a couple people looking at me like, "Are you okay?" And I just smiled at them and nodded, and then did my gig. And it was like, where did that come from? And I know at other times I would have spent a lot of time turning it into a pratfall or trying to, and I didn't do any of that. I just, well, can't undo that, can we? So I would consider that to be a good response that was authentic. You saw it, it happened, we're done. Let's do the next thing.
Cool. So, yeah. Good response. Yeah. So how does the feeling not good enough, how does that relate to your succession plans?
Well, in the past, when I've been able to do the succession thing, it's been, and maybe that's where this is different, it's been clear I'm ready for this to not do this. And you all are affected. We can either have a big bang and go out, or you could continue it, and this will be an internship year, and I'll show you what I've been doing. And for the festival I started and ran for 10 years, that's what I did. And they took it over. I did everything very clearly so that they could take over, become incorporated and take over and give them money. That was a part of the whole thing is this is the money I started with, and you may have that, this amount. And so you're set up good, and then try to stay out of it. And they kept trying to, they wouldn't take me off the email lists, and I kept getting, messages like, okay, delete, delete, delete. And then finally, the first, they invited me to come back as a instructor and performer the next year, which was very kind of them. They didn't need to do that. And I was waiting for that shoe to drop where they weren't going to. And I kept saying, you need to take me off these lists. And they didn't. And they were talking with each other about how they weren't inviting me this time. And I thought, part of me was like, oh, it's here. That's sad. And by the way, you need to take me off your lists. And that's when it struck them that, oh, we don't know. That's bad. So they scurried and got me. I didn't get any of those emails anymore. And that was, it was sad, but it was, the child is launched and it's gone. And they did all these things that made it way better than I could do. And they said it took 17 of us to do what you were doing. And well, of course, that's why you can do all this great stuff. And then they invited me to come back, and they started making that a rhythm that I would be an honorary, Coloradan and keep coming back. This one, I'm not at that place of I'm done. I know I'm going to need to be done at some point. And this is what, how to do the legal things. There's all those kind of things, and I have more invested in, and I've talked to my kids about this, what with my creative, I don't, right now I'm not thinking of the words I've used when I've talked with them. Creative output, copyrights, intellectual property, all that stuff. What's your interest in this? And that's, that I wanted to start that a couple of years ago so they could start thinking about that. So I'm in that in between, it's kind of liminal. I'm in that in between place. It's not necessary, there's not a deadline, but there could be. And
So what are the
so
things that you really enjoy that you want to hold on to for now? And what are the things that you're like, someone else can take that and I'd be totally happy.
right now, I'm not going to let go of anything.
All right.
It And part of it is because I feel good about the systems we've put in place. I feel good about, I want to make sure somebody else can understands what's happening. And when it comes time for some changes, I know there's going to be that they're equipped to be able to do that and understand where everything came from. And then you make your changes. And, but I, this is kind of a legacy project. I want it to, it's been going great. And I want people to have the benefit of that. I know it's not for everybody, and that's okay. And people keep being surprised that we're here. Part of it's because they're new to the Dulcimer world. And that's probably the people we'll appeal to the most all along. What I would not like to have happen is what happened. I was the first guitar teacher at jamplay.com back in the early 2000s. And right before the pandemic, they merged with TrueFire. And then it was the pandemic time, and then we all got to have TrueFire accounts as well. And then TrueFire gradually pushed everybody out that was part of JamPlay. And so I had status, I had longevity and history, and they appreciated that as we started it all up, our stuff in TrueFire. But then everybody that I had personal relationship with is out the door. And and that didn't feel near as warm and friendly or as secure. And
So you're not going to do that.
no, I don't, yeah, I don't want to do that.
All right.
So, but they were way more successful than they ever thought they would be when they started it.
Which
And
one, jam or true?
JamPlay, well, true, they were different styles of things, so that's why it made sense for them to come together. So
So, what's possible for Steve if he can never be not enough?
oh, disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could not be not enough, that's a helpful. I just reject binaries. If there's only two options, they're hiding one at least, and probably two more. And so I like having the kind of the back flip off of the, if they have a high wire line, there's either this or this. I like having the back flip to get off. Which is kind of Hegelian, by the way. The new thesis. I feel much more comfortable, and I'm grateful to all of your mindset things and the I've shifted in ways I didn't think I could shift, didn't know was possible. And so I feel much more comfortable and less anxious about doing what I'm doing. And feel like there's more possibility than for a lot of my life I lived more in a scarcity of possibility. Or I kind of secretly knew there was unlimited possibility, but then lived in the scarcity side of it. So I'm grateful for that. And I was looking at Silas sent out the new pitch or the website for the partner program yesterday. So I was looking through that, and I've always tried to think about who do I know that might benefit, and I will mention some things to some people, but your video about the, I mean, just talk to your people that you talk to and how might this help them was, you know, and you were answering all the objections about this feels scammy, this feels, you know, you're just doing what you do and you're wanting other people to have the benefit of it. And that's still a challenge for me. But I think it was right. How that works into my daily flow is another question. But we're also activating an affiliate network for Dulcimer Crossing. And the way, this is how I do things. If there's something that I want to offer to somebody else, I have to go through it as a customer first in order to learn it from their side. And so I was just actually this morning going through some of the links to all the things behind that, because we've invited people and there's a lot of people who said yes. Now we have to provide it to them and they're going to have a lot of questions. So looking at, oh, well, these are a lot of good answers to those questions, and they're going to be independent of what the topic is. They're going to be all about the mechanics. Okay. That makes that possible to get that done.
Cool. All right, Steve, what do you take with you from today?
I am not enough.
That's fucking right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll call Paul when he's back in the States.
Yeah. I mean, they have phones in Australia. Well, they probably have even FaceTime audio, whatever.
Yes, they do.
I don't know.
Yeah, we could do that.
I'm just saying. It's possible.
He is in the Outback a lot, but.
Yeah. You might even have Starlink down there. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Give him a call. Tell him it'll be done by the end of the week.
Oh, that's a deadline. I'm not going to put. Give myself this week.
How long is it going to take you if you focus on it?
I'll have to get it back out. I know that the last time I got it back out, what was missing was all the percussion stuff.
Okay.
So.
Just throw some drums in there. It's fine.
Yeah. Just drums with a slash and two dots. Drum slash two dots.
Yeah.
And actually, that should be my. I should get it out and look at the percussion parts.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we just agree if it's been 26 years, it's not because you haven't had time.
Yes. I will accept that. Yeah.
Yeah. So funny when we end up spending more time thinking about something or talking about something rather than just fucking doing it. But well,
I have back burners for a reason, because there's things that simmer and they get better when they simmer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's fine. 26 years. It's a long simmer.
You could also, that pot might have burned up a long time ago. Right. I should check on it.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, if you never finish, you never find out it wasn't good enough, you know? So I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better find out. I remember coaching a guy years ago who wanted to write a novel. And, like, when we dug in there, it was like he never got it done. And the reason he didn't get it done is, like, as long as he didn't write it, he didn't risk finding out he was a shitty, shitty writer. And so he could keep the dream alive of being a writer.
Without the shitty appellation at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, not good enough. No shame. No shame.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not a thing, because you can't be any different than you are.
So I guess I shall be who who I are.
Yes. It's a good start. Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy it, celebrate it.
Yes.
Yeah. With everything that goes into that. And maybe young Steve, that the little boy that lives in you needs a hug from time to time.
Yes.
Just to know that he's not enough.
When you say that, the thing I'm thinking of is I always knew that I was not enough. I just knew that they didn't know it, and I wasn't going to bring it as a topic of discussion. I always knew that my interior life was more real than what was being I was presenting.
So maybe it's time to let that light shine a little so other people can see it.
That's a I'm going to ponder what that might look like because it feels I feel like I have been. But it sounds like maybe I haven't.
I mean, I'm just reflecting what you told me.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And yeah, it's like, I mean, what it sounds like to me is for that little boy, he felt like it wasn't safe to be him. It wasn't safe to shine
Oh, that's
and
for
be
sure.
fully
Yeah.
him, right?
Yeah.
And so that becomes a pattern that just becomes ingrained, like, oh, like it's not safe to be fully me, and that's no longer true. It might have been true then, but it's no longer true. And even if it ruffles some feathers with your kids or grandkids,
I'm the grandpa, so I could be the old crusty guy.
Or the old, happy guy. Or you can just be the old, you can just be fucking you. Let it rip. You're so sweet and so lovable. Great sense of humor, great self-awareness, great what is it called? When you like you can laugh at yourself, and So those are great qualities, and just make sure to really make the young Steve feel invited, feel held, and feel part of the journey.
Yeah, I wrote a song called "Daddy, Won't You Carry Me?" Being the oldest child, I wanted to be carried to bed, and I got too big, and there were younger sisters who needed carried, and I could walk, and so I was going through this, and it was the first really strongly emotional song, writing from the emotional side, and telling the story. And then I had this period where I had to wait in the middle of it to figure out what was going to happen. And then I realized, oh, we go to the bridge and it's reversed and he's in the bed so far away. Strokes, we can't, I have to be the only one who talks. Then it's his time. And so the chorus now becomes, Daddy, won't you carry him upstairs to his bed? But before that, the transformative moment was realizing, remembering I'm daddy and I could and did carry my kids. And as I did, of course, that meant I was carrying me. And the story, art can change the physical experience of what happened to become. Realizing big boys need some assurance too, and that's something daddies can do,
Oh, wow.
is the
Oh,
turn.
that's so beautiful.
And that, I just, I mean, and then I couldn't ever sing it without bawling. And I get to the recording studio, and first take, you know, I'm crying through the end of it. And my buddy, who is the recording engineer, says, "You're going to have a problem. I know you're going to have a problem, because that is the most powerful possible take, and you're not going to want it to go into the world." So I still think it's the best, but let's go on and let's do a couple more. Mm-hmm. And we did one that was kind of dry and one that was on the cusp. And I realized that's the one I chose because I wanted to invite people to have their own experience, not observe me having mine. Mm-hmm. It's fine for them to see, but I didn't want that to be away from them coming into their own experience of it, which for me was the pure artistic moment.
Mm-hmm. How old are your grandkids?
They're 3.5 and 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So sweet. Yeah. And what are they? What are their boy or girl?
A girl in Toronto and a boy in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. Which is the six or the, or what was it?
Oh, the new one's in Toronto, 6 months. And
winter. He's a boy? Is a boy?
That's a girl.
That's a girl. Okay. And then
winter's 3.5 and he's in Portland.
And he was, what did he say, 6 years old or 5 years?
He's 3.5.
3.5 is what you said. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, what I'm getting at is like every time that you hold him, just picture that you're also holding little Steve.
Yeah.
At the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Good to use a little carrying, a little holding.
Yeah. Well, this feels like a boost, like being held and carried. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, he deserves that. He's so, such a precious, creative, smart, honest, authentic little boy. And he was never not enough. Yeah.
So this must be why I said yes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. 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 You can also take him with you on stage every time you perform.
Yeah. Maybe he's the one that tripped me.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe he was tripping and I fell to keep him from getting hurt. You know, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. 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 So as you're playing, you're going to be like, talk to him and be like, look at all these people and how much they appreciate your creativity and the music that's in you. And, you know, the acknowledgement he didn't get from his parents while they're alive, make sure he gets that from you and that he receives it from all of those people.
It really feels much better to be at this point in my life than trying to do this earlier. Because I just had a weekend in Albuquerque with workshops and a concert in the middle. And most festivals don't give you much concert time. You get, you know, 2 songs or 10 minutes or something like that. And this was an hour long concert, which is not, you know, a whole evening, but, you know, that's pretty good. And having not done that a lot since before the pandemic, getting into that rhythm and realizing, yeah, I have a lot of experience with this. Mm-hmm. I can keep an eye on the clock. I can keep an eye on what's going on emotionally and energetic level in the room. I have some things I want to do, but I'm open to what else might be popping up that could be a better response to this moment than what I'd foreseen. And keep the energy motion, you know, the flow of what I'm looking for in terms of energy and engagement, and when are they listening, when are we engaging together, mm-hmm. you know, just all of that. I can, it's not me, it's a wave, and I can ride the wave and
I love that.
Catch the right one, mm-hmm. and even if there's a whoops, you know, and I go ass over tea kettle, it'll be part of the experience, and that'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing, man. Thank you so much, Steve. It's beautiful to connect with you again.
Yes, thank you too.
See, both the adult, the grandpa Steve, and the little boy Steve. He's very much alive in you. It's very clear. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, thank you for receiving him.
Absolutely.